Wait for it, wait for it. Welcome to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast with your host, David Guerra.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast, brought to you by BerlinBrigade.com, Freedom's virtual outpost. As always, I am your host, David Guerra, and I am glad you could join me here today. In this episode, we do a little housekeeping, but we also have a great interview with Bruce Gleason. Bruce served with the 298th Army Band from May 1989 to late 1991, and he will talk to us about that Thursday night in November of 1989, when the world suddenly changed and changed forever. And he'll also talk about a bunch of other stuff. Let's get a little housekeeping taken care of. Let's see. First, we have a special announcement from the Field Station Berlin Veterans Group. Remember, not too long ago, we had Mark Hooker on the podcast talking about the group's initiative to save Teufelsburg. Well, the Field Station Berlin Veterans Group, along with author T.H.E. Hill, have something really cool on tap for Monday, November 9th, 2009, in Berlin. So if you happen to find yourself in Berlin for the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, then head on over to the Allied Museum on Clay Alley. This is the former Outpost movie theater just north of Clay Compound and north of U-Bahn off Oscar Lindenheim. There will be an afternoon presentation of a sheet of Cinderella stamps celebrating the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, honoring the members of the American forces in Berlin who stood guard for almost 50 years, making sure that the island of freedom known as Berlin remained free. The official unveiling of the stamps will take place on 9 November at the Allied Museum in Berlin, when the museum will be presented with the first sheet of stamps from the print run. The time of the ceremony is not yet determined. From what I know, it will be in the afternoon, but it will also be announced when it's known, and it will be announced on the website, and I'll have the links to the website on the BerlinBrigade.com homepage, and I'll also put the times on there when I know them. Listen, about these Cinderella stamps, this is straight from their website. Cinderella stamps are stamps that would like to go on the ball of philately. Golly, see, there you go. I'm stuck on that word, and it's like I've been practicing all day, and I can't not say it. But are generally snubbed by serious stamp collectors whose interest is in stamps that will move a piece of mail from point A to point B. Cinderella stamps are not valid for postage. They are in reality an art form that uses the medium of stamp size images on gummed, perforated paper. In the late 19th and early 20th century, stamps of this type were also known as poster stamps. Modern practitioners of the art, which there are many, prefer to use the term artist stamps. So there you go. I guess we would kind of know them as like Easter seals here in the United States. Those kinds of stamps that I guess would be kind of, not saying that's the equivalent, but that would just be kind of what we're looking at. So, like I said, I'll have the link on the website, and that'll show you exactly what we're talking about, what they're talking about. So, head on over to the Allied Museum. Also, if you're not too sure who T.H.E. Hill is, well, he is the author of the book Voices Under Berlin, The Tale of Monterey Mary, and the compilation entitled Berlin in Early Cold War Army Booklets 1946 to 1958. So if you cannot make it to Berlin for the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, then I invite you to head on over to Branson, Missouri, and participate in their annual Veterans Homecoming Week. It runs from November 5th through the 11th, Veterans Day. I checked out their website, and the BransonVeterans.com website has done a very good job of compiling all the information of all the events that are on tap for that week. I mean, they have like several mini reunion schedules, such as a World War II Veterans mini reunion, Persian Gulf War Veterans Mini Reunion, Vietnam Veterans Reunion, and a Women's Veterans Mini Reunion. Also on the schedule for the 7th and 8th, the General Tommy Franks Leadership Institute and Museum Roadshow will be there. And for all you shooters out there, on Sunday the 8th, there will be a Veterans Shoot at the Ozark Shooter Sports Complex. They'll be doing Sporting Clay Trap Shoot, Wobble Trap Shoot, Bring Your Own Gun. Hey, it's Arkansas. What else can you do, huh? No, seriously. I mean, they even have gun rental, and, as my understanding, Cabela's will donate items for this event. Sounds sweet. Then on Veterans Day, now this is like the coolest thing, they have planned a VIP luncheon with Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North at the Chateau on the Lake. There'll be a short session followed by a meet and greet, book signing. Sounds cool to me. As always, I will have the links on the show notes and on the front page of BerlinBrigade.com. So if you have a chance to get out to any of these two things to do, do them. Get out there. Love to see you out there.
Take your seats because it's time for a special guest interview.
Joining me today is Bruce P. Gleason, formerly of the 298th Army Band, arriving in Berlin of May 1989, departing September 1991. Tell you what, I'm going to have him tell you all about who he is, what he's done, where he's been, and where he's going.
Okay. I'm the director of graduate programs in music education at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. I've been a professor here 10 years, and I became the head of the department about a year ago. After the Army, I went into the Army with a master's degree, and I've been a high school band director for 6 years. After the Army, I went to the University of Iowa, did a PhD in music education, taught high school in Chicago for a couple of years, then went to Boston, taught at Gordon College for 2 years, and now I've been at University of St. Thomas for 10 years.
Wow, wow. And so listen, you were in Berlin from, let's just go back a little bit, then we'll kind of move forward. That's a lot of traveling, a lot of time teaching, and of course, obviously, continuously learning music. What instrument did you play when you were with the 298th?
My main instrument was euphonium, which is like a baritone, small tuba. We had a wonderful big band, jazz big band as well, and in that I played trombone. I played third trombone. And a couple of times I fronted the band as a vocalist because I'm a singer as well.
Anything standards, new stuff?
Standards, and I remember a wonderful Christmas concert. Dave Slothauer, one of our sergeants, trumpet player, who now lives out in Colorado, he had arranged a couple of Christmas standards, and I remember a great jazz version of Away in the Manger, which especially stands out in my mind.
And you got to do that first Christmas you were there?
I think it was the first Christmas, because the second Christmas, I don't remember if it was first or second. We used to take unit leave. Typically, the entire unit would go on leave at the same time. And so one holiday, I went down to... I went to France, Spain, Portugal, and then came on the way up, back up to Germany, stopped off in Luxembourg. I tried to do as much traveling as I could.
Wow, but yeah. Oh, no, just curious, because that first one would have been the first Christmas after the fall of the wall. And
I just don't remember. Another thing that we used to do holidays, we used to go down on the Kurfürstendamm, and we would take our instruments down and play Christmas carols, Christmas music, and throw out a case and make some extra money that way. We had to be careful, though, because we had to use our own instruments, not military instruments for that, but fortunately several of us had our own instruments with us.
Well, that definitely made things a little bit easier, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, pretty interesting. I bet you there's some stories there for sure. So you got there, and it was like the beginning of the end of the wall when you got there. Of course, at the time, you didn't know it.
No, we knew nothing more than anyone else did. And in fact, the night the wall, when it came down, we were a little incredulous. We still had a hard time believing.
Oh, yeah. Same thing here, I was watching it stateside, and I was watching it unfold right there in front of me, and it's like, no, something's going to go wrong. This is not right. It was just insane. But it turned out to be the real deal, and that's a good thing, which kind of will lead me to the standard question I ask everybody. Well, where were you when the wall went down, and what were your feelings, observations? Tell us.
Well, that night we got a call at the band building, and now I don't remember what day it was. Friday night stands out in my mind, but I guess we could check the calendar to see what day it really was. We got a call at the band building at Andrus Barracks in Lichterfelde, which was on Finkenstein Allee. And we got a call at the band building saying the wall's coming down, and for the life of me, I don't remember who called. The CQ answered the phone. He hung up. I don't even remember who the CQ was, no. And I happened to be down there getting my mail. Dan Eason, one of the sax players, one of our youngest members, he was probably 18 or so at the time. We heard the news. We looked at each other and said, well, we're pretty sure this is not the correct. However, we better run down there and take a look to see if this is true. We called a friend, this friend of ours, Dave Slothauer, off base. He drove up in his old rusty colored Subaru. We headed down to Checkpoint Charlie. By the time we got to Checkpoint Charlie, there were probably 100 people there waiting. There were three East German guards in the middle of Friedrichstrasse standing there, and we waited around, I don't know how long we waited, an hour maybe, and nothing ever really did happen. So we drove around to the northwest a little bit, right behind the Brandenburg Gate. And by the time we got to the Brandenburg Gate, Tom Brokaw was there with the NBC cameras, and there were hundreds of people streaming through, and history was changing before our eyes.
Wow, yeah, that is definitely one of those experiences that it's better to be there watching history unfold as opposed to being, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles away watching it unfold. You know, it's definitely a different feel. And
yeah, we were fortunate.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's definitely going to be something that will not leave you. It'll stay with you forever. And that's the one thing I hear from everybody. So you were there, and a couple of other little side notes. I mean, what was, from your impression, what was the climate after the wall came down and the feel of, well, Berlin?
It was a very intense place. Interestingly, I actually had put in for a pass a week before to go to East Berlin that next day. And I, of course, had no idea that the wall was coming down, and I decided to continue with my pass and go to East Berlin. So I did the appropriate checking with our MPs through Checkpoint Charlie. Well, I was the absolute only person going into East Berlin that day, and the people were still streaming through, and there was a long line of pedestrians coming east to west. I went over there. I used to go over quite a bit, either to shop or go to the opera or to one of the to a concert or something. And that I don't remember if I went to a concert that time now or not. I don't think I did. And a few hours later, I came back, and I was now in this mob of people. And I still have a photograph. I took a photograph of the mob in front of me. We're all going in the same direction, east to west. And there's an MP who has left Checkpoint Charlie, and he's reaching through the mob to grab me. I, of course, was in Army uniform, and he was reaching up to grab me because he thought I was going to be something was going to happen to me in this mob of people. I've often wondered who that MP was. He was a very, very kind gesture, and I was glad to have that little help being pulled through the mob to Checkpoint Charlie and resting before I made my way back to Finkenstein Allee.
So if you're out there, drop us a note. We want to hear your side of the story and what it was like on that side of the Checkpoint Charlie and reaching, fighting that crowd to get that GI out of there. That's definitely an interesting story. And yeah, well, you know how he spotted you. You were wearing your dog tags. That's how he spotted you. Yes, I remember that from School of Standards. That's the one thing. If you go to the bones, they do not take off your dog tags. That's how they'll spot you. That's how they spot the Americans. So that's an old story. Anyway, moving on. West to east, yeah, definitely. I was about to say, I know you didn't. There should not have been any kind of concerts or opera because everybody was on the other side. So pretty much that took care of that. But yeah, that's just the one thing many of us, I would safe to say, is didn't get a chance to do that. I did catch some operas, I did catch some shows on the west side, but never ventured off the beaten path on the East Berlin side of things. And again, just a quick impression, what was that like, just to go out and interface with their culture?
It was a great experience. Most people didn't understand that the culture in the East was absolutely as good as the West. People understood that the Berlin Philharmonic under von Karajan and the Deutsche Oper and so on were wonderful venues, but equal culture was happening on the East side at the Komische Oper and the Staatsoper, which was on Unter den Linden, which interestingly was actually the opera house that Frederick the Great had built by his architect. If I remember right, it was Knobelsdorf. And so I went there quite a bit. I would typically go over and go to a concert, and before that concert I would buy a ticket for the next time I was going over, and tickets were unbelievably cheap because we of course were changing dollars for Deutschmark, and then we were exchanging Deutschmark for Eastmarks, and so you know, a top-notch world-class concert would be $1 or $2 for fabulous seats. So I did that quite a bit. Once in a while I would go over with someone else, but I found it was just easier to just go by myself, even though army musicians weren't always as flexible as I was. I went over there quite a bit. Record shops, bookshops, and all kinds of stuff. But the culture of the operas and concerts were wonderful.
Wow. So yeah, again, like I said, that was just something that didn't get an opportunity to do, you know, venture off the beaten path. But it's good to know that somebody did and did get a chance to experience that side of the Berlin culture, or East Berlin culture, and in that way. And that's a very good thing. So obviously, kudos out there to you. Now let's bring this back over. You've gone to East Berlin. You did your shopping. Now you got pulled through the wall, and now you're back on the west side. Tell us about some of the events that the band did with, as far as supporting the troops there in Berlin.
Well, the band was actually stationed at Andrews Barracks, which originally had been the a Prussian Hauptgedettenanstalt, a military. Military academy similar to our West Point. In fact, Goering had graduated from there in 1913, I believe the year was. So it was a big, beautiful Prussian set of buildings that had then, of course, gone to the Nazis, and then the Russians were the first allies to get to Berlin, and then they were there for 6 months or so in 1945, and then the Americans took over in 1945. And incidentally, the 298th U.S. Army Band was the unit that stayed there the longest of any of the Allied units, and that was all of the Allies, because they got there in 1945, and I believe did not leave till 94. And I happened to be part of, you know, almost to the tail end of that. So we were stationed at Andrews Barracks. And then we had, some of our duty was typical Army. We got up in the morning and did physical training. And then we had our concert band rehearsal for an hour and a half, then a break, then jazz band rehearsal, then lunch. In a typical day, we would have our office, those of us who had office jobs, I was the admin clerk for the band, and I processed people in and out of East Berlin as well as into the zone, doing flag orders and so on, and promotions and so on. I typed up for whoever was being promoted or awarded or honored or something. And then most of our band jobs, it was probably half and half between doing things for German civilians as well as, you know, supporting units within the Berlin Brigade, doing flag-raising ceremonies, evening ceremonies over at headquarters. You know, I don't remember, I guess it was over at Clay headquarters, doing changes of command at McNair, changes of command at Andrews, and a lot of those were huge events, especially if a major unit was changing commands or if the general of the brigade was changing. So quite a few of those. For the German people, we would do often, there would be, you know, neighborhood festivals or so on, or our school would do something or something, so we would play lighter tunes and so on. So we did everything from light tunes to military marches, and every once in a while we would do a full-blown concert band sit-down concert, or the jazz band was busy a lot, and then we would do jazz standards, Neil Hefti, Glenn Miller, Count Basie, and so on.
A podcast or so ago, we had Weldon English, and he participated in the reunification parade. Was the 298th there as well?
The reunification weekend was a horrendously busy weekend for us because the way the Potsdam Declaration had been set up at the end of World War II, all of the commanders of the sectors had retirement ceremonies, because that's what happened on the eve of reunification. So the British commander was retired from his post, the French from his, the American from his, and I assume the Soviet from his, but the Soviets dealt with their sector considerably different than the rest of us, and so I don't remember exactly all that. I do remember playing for the retirement ceremony at Charlottenburg, a beautiful palace on the west, west. Now I don't remember if it was on the Kurfürstendamm or not. It might have been west of the Kurfürstendamm. Sophie Charlotte, I don't remember where she was. She was probably one of the Hohenzollerns. I think the palace was built in the 1690s, 1699 maybe. And so we had a beautiful retirement ceremony there. Then we did an incredible concert the next night with a rehearsal at the Berlin Philharmonic. If I remember long enough, I'll remember we brought in a civilian conductor, and then the Soviets played with us. It was the Soviets, French, British, and the Americans for the rehearsal, and the next night we played for, I think we played for a million people at the Lustgarten, right on Unter den Linden, on the north side of Unter den Linden.
That definitely sounds busy, that's for sure. You know, and you mentioned the Allies. Did you ever get to do any of the tattoos?
You know, I didn't. I don't think we had any tattoos when I was there. I heard about them. There were a few things that had changed by the time I got there, and that apparently was one of them.
Wow, yeah, that's, they were... Well, I guess I don't know when they stopped, but I know it was going on, and there was time when we were part of it. So that's interesting to know that it already had kind of come to an end by that point. Then again, it could have just been logistics. Your entire time, was it all spent there in Berlin, or where else were you at? I'm sorry, I didn't listen.
My entire time in the military, I was there in Berlin. I did basic training at Fort Dix, New Jersey. Then I was at the Armed Forces School of Music at the Norfolk Naval Amphibious Base in Virginia. That was 6 months, and then I did the rest of my enlistment all in Berlin.
Wow, one duty station. Got you spoiled, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's all right. So after the military, you headed off and you started teaching? Well, you had been teaching before, but
I had
aggressively.
I actually... I actually saved some of my leave for the end of my enlistment. So even though I got out of the Army in September, I think I left Berlin in August, maybe about the third week of August. I flew from Berlin to the East Coast. I out-processed. I'm not sure exactly where I out-processed now. Well, I suppose maybe that was at Fort Dix. I don't know. And then I flew to the Twin Cities. I originally was from Minnesota, and then I went immediately to Iowa City, Iowa, where I had been already accepted into the doctoral program in music education at the University of Iowa, and so then I spent my next 4 years as a doctoral student.
Off and running after that, I kind of caught up with you. It's online, as a matter of fact. You were guest conducting at a college nearby.
Yeah, at Carleton College.
Thank
right?
you. Yes.
Yeah. I fill in every once in a while there, guest conducting typically, mm-hmm. and they're gracious to let me.
So that's basically where anybody can go and see you would be up in the land of 10,000 lakes area up there?
Yeah, land of 10,000 lakes. Right. So I do a bit of choral conducting, some instrumental conducting, and I also sing professionally with a group called the Fairlanes, which is a doo-wop a cappella men's quartet, and we do everything from the Ink Spots to Beach Boys and some Buddy Holly and all the favorites from the 1950s and 1960s.
Look, before we really delve into what's going on now, let's go back to Berlin real quick. You know, it's been what, 18 years, give or take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you, what's the one thing that you miss about Berlin?
The one thing I miss about Berlin. Good. I miss the fabulous history of the city. I took advantage of as much. I got to know the city as much as possible. Met some wonderful people that I still keep in contact with. It's an ancient city, and it was the capital of Prussia for a long time. And so I miss the architecture, the history, the culture, and the Grunewald. A lot of people don't realize that probably 30% of Berlin is forested area, and it's a magnificent place, beautiful lakes, wonderful, especially the summertime, the weather is great. It's a grand, grand city.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right now, I mean, it's 100 and change down here where I'm at in Texas. And it's got to be awesome up over there right now. And I don't know what your weather's like right now up there.
I think we're pushing, we're upper 80s today, I suppose. It's not too bad.
So Berlin is still a little further north than that in the grand scheme of things, so it should be an awesome day over there if it's not raining, though. But, you know, that's just the way that is. And yes, I agree, that city has a life all its own. I mean, you take the people out of it, it's still got a life.
Yep.
And that by far is, I guess, the magic behind everything. Have you been back since you departed? I should have asked that first instead of the 18 years.
I went back in 99. I was doing some research in Stockholm. I actually had just led a concert tour across Europe, which ended in, it actually ended in Berlin. So I had the good fortune of showing 80 college students a fabulous city. And I served as a tour guide. I was conducting a brass choir of 12 brass, and then there was a college vocal choir of maybe 70, and I was co-hosting that and brought those college students to Berlin. And then from there, I traveled through. I had to get some research done in Stockholm, and then I went to Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, and then I came back to Berlin, and I stayed there for a couple of weeks, and stayed with some friends and was amazed at how much construction was possible in one place. It was stunning.
Yeah, that seems to be the running joke. It's become the land of the construction cranes.
Yeah.
My understanding, though, it's kind of tapered off. But yeah, there was a time there that the skyline was just littered with construction cranes.
Yeah.
But then again, they had all that land there in the middle of the town to deal with.
Yeah,
they had some walls to clear out, so that was all right. And by 99, there was still a lot of the wall remaining.
I would guess, yeah, right.
But now it's 10 years later after that, and there's they're actually partitioning off parts of the wall you can no longer touch, you can no longer chip at or anything like that, and that's kind of like, wow, interesting. Now they're fighting to keep it up.
Right, yeah. For a glimpse of history.
Yeah, at least for that much. So you went back. I know that you had made mention in an email when we first started talking about setting up this interview about the reunion. Do you still keep in touch with? Well, you did mention you kept in touch with somebody from Colorado.
Yeah, I still keep in touch with quite a few people, and actually, it's becoming more with the invention and popularity of Facebook. And quite a few people have connected with me and found me again, and so I have friends all over the U.S., and I was just at a reunion last 2 weeks ago, maybe, with the Berlin U.S. Military Veterans Association there. That's the full name, and someone can easily find that online, and they've got a website. And interestingly, their reunion is different at a different site every year. And this time it was here in the Twin Cities. And next year's reunion is in August, and that will actually be in Berlin itself. So if someone was going to join that group, now would probably be the time to do that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That Berlin U.S. Military Veterans Association, great group of people. Been trying to get one of them to come on and be interviewed. I'm still waiting on them, so there it is, calling you guys out again. Let's talk about next year's Berlin visit and see what people can do that are not members to get them on board. And again, so that calling somebody out. So if you know somebody, have them drop me a line and we'll go from there. Again, if you were picking this up somewhere along the line and just fast forward, we're talking to Bruce Gleason. He was a former member of the 298th Army Band. He played the euphonium. And again, I don't know why, but I do like saying that name. Don't ask me why. He was there from May 1989 to September 1991. Tell you what, let's hear more about a little bit more about your time in Berlin. Well, you know what? No, before we go there, let's go forward. Let's come back to now. Is there anything that you played or wanted to always play while you were with the band in Berlin that you're now incorporating into your set, or you always want to play, or you try to get it played whenever you're conducting?
Well, that's a good question. There were a couple of beautiful German marches, especially Alte Kameraden, Old Comrades, which has a wonderful euphonium part, counter melody. Euphonium typically has the counter melody, and that was one that we did and that I've done a few times when I'm guest conducting bands. There's also a set of German army band books that actually were originated in the 1820s under the auspice, actually under the direction of the then King of Prussia. Now I can't remember, it was one of the Wilhelms. Anyway, those books are actually on the new manifestation. They're actually still being printed, almost 200 years later, and they're still being published by Bote and Bach in Berlin, and there are some fabulous marches in those books. So that would be a highlight that I loved playing, and of course I loved playing the American standards, jazz standards, especially the stuff by Count Basie. It was a great introduction to his music.
Yeah, and that, my understanding, that was quite popular among the Germans as well. So,
loved it.
Yeah. They go crazy over that, and that's a good thing. At least somebody was able to play it, and they go crazy over it. Hey, it's a win-win. Alrighty, so now, back to Berlin real briefly. which is very briefly because I forgot my question. And I've been keeping notes as we go along, so it's like, well, I was going to, and I, like, okay, I need to write this down, and of course, I forgot it, and I'm looking over. You know, that was pretty much it. You know what? There's one question. I do remember the band, whenever we would deploy to the West for any reason, they would be there to see us off at the duty train, at the train station.
Yep.
Did y'all ever deploy to the West?
We did go to the West several times. We filled in for the 33rd Army Band in Heidelberg a couple of times, and now I'm trying to remember where else. Darmstadt, we filled in for some, or maybe we didn't fill in, maybe we were just invited to go over there. There were several U.S. Army bands in the West, so we didn't need to go over there because there were typically bands available, but once in a while we subbed for someone, or there was a special event, or something happened. I do remember going up to Kiel. We did not bring our instruments, however, because we went up to qualify on German weapons. So we were probably the only band in the United States Army where every single musician soldier had a Deutsche Bundeswehr Schützenschnur, that big beautiful braid with the metal medallion on it, indicating that we had qualified on German weapons. I still have mine, and it's still pretty beautiful.
Oh yes, same here. We did it at Veilflicken, and yeah, it's one of those rarities people ask about, and it's like, well, what is that? And it's like, well, then we get into the story about that. And it's always a nice thing, and that is one of the really nice perks about being in Berlin. We were able to do that. My understanding, some of the troops in the West didn't get that opportunity as much.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So that was one of the nice little things about being in Berlin, and that's definitely a good thing. So okay, so you guys deployed to the West. Who played for you guys when you guys got on the train?
I believe that we just slipped onto the duty train. When did it leave? About 9 o'clock at night, I think. And I don't remember anyone playing for us, but I guess that never occurred to me. But thank you for asking.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Or did y'all just march there with your instruments and play, and then slowly one instrument just fell out of formation?
Oh, that would be a nice approach too.
Yeah. Until just the guy there with the flute, and that's all that was left, or
yeah,
something.
That's kind of a picturesque idea. Yeah.
Stop. Freeze time. Let's go back. No, I'm kidding. It's just something. I was just always curious if whoever, you know, it's one of those questions you ask. Well, who plays for the band if they leave? Oh no, we get some MPs and they honk their horns. I don't know. I don't know. But we asked, and now we know the answer. Okay, so anyway, well, listen, tell you what, let's start wrapping things up. And one of the last things that I like to ask everybody, or closing remarks, kind of impressions of Berlin, your time there in general, just kind of, you know, the floor is yours.
Well, my time in Berlin, in time in the military, probably wasn't was probably a little unusual. Firstly, because I was 30 years old going through basic training, and I don't know that I would do that again. But I'm of course glad that I did the whole thing, because I ended up in Berlin in one of the most historic periods of the 20th century. So it was unique in that I was 30 years old. I had a master's degree. But I, you know, I still went through basic training with 18-year-olds, and ended up in Berlin at this, you know, at the that wonderful time, and I had all of these, of course, have all these wonderful memories, and I had looked at the Navy, Marines, and Air Force as well. The reason I joined the Army is because they could insure the most money afterward for graduate school, and they were the one that could do that with a European assignment, which is what I wanted. I think I'm not even sure that I didn't select Berlin. I either selected Germany or Europe, and then at the Armed Forces School of Music, that, you know, that week that we graduated, that's when we found out our assignments, and that's when I found out I was going to Berlin. And I wasn't even sure what to think at first, and now I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity to live in one of the greatest capitals of the Western Hemisphere. So I've got wonderful memories. I'm glad I did the whole thing. I don't know that I would join the military again, but I'm glad that I did it, and I'm glad I had those wonderful memories and experiences.
Well, there you go. There you go. And that, sir, we're all better for it, that's for sure. Listen, I thank you for your time. We're going to go ahead and bring this interview to a close. As always, you know, you and everybody else, you have an open invitation to come on. You got a show going on, or you're going to be appearing on some national TV show and you want to make sure everybody watches and sees you perform, you drop us a note. We'll get you on here as soon as possible, and we'll do everything to get it up there and get everybody notified and get you to watch you or visit or whatever. If you ever find yourself in Texas, you drop me a note, and I will go out of my way, and I'll make sure that we make contact, and palm-to-palm, face-to-face contact there, sir.
Great. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you. Thank you for your time. Again, this was Bruce Gleason, former member of the 298th Army Band from May 1989 to September 1991. Bruce, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is time to start bringing this podcast to a close. Just want to thank you for listening, and to remind you that we still have some great interviews lined up for the coming months, and there are some great surprises as well. We're still looking for a member of the Berlin U.S. Military Veterans Group Association to come onto the podcast and talk about next year's reunion, which is scheduled to be in Berlin. Then again, the invitation is open to all former members of the Berlin Brigade, as well as members of the Allies, British, French, and even Soviet forces that served in Berlin. We would love to hear from you, and especially about the story you have to tell. We all have stories to tell. Let's share them. So please drop me an email at podcast@berlinbrigade.com and just tell me you're interested, and we'll set something up and we'll get it going on. Lastly, I again want to thank Bruce Gleason, formerly of the 298th Army Band, for the awesome interview. Mark Hooker, the Field Station Berlin Veterans Group, and Arthur T.H.E. Hill for that information on the presentation at the Allied Museum in Berlin on the 9th of November. I do hope to see you at the Allied Museum on the 9th of November. Again, if you're there, stop by, say hello, I'll shake your hand, we'll do something. But seriously, I want to see you there, so if you're in Berlin, stop by. As always, be sure to check out the website and check us out on iTunes, where you can listen to the latest episode or download and listen to past episodes as well. Listen, until next time, I am Dave Guerra. Thank you for listening, and have a good one.
Sergeant Major, dismiss the brigade! The BerlinBrigade.com podcast is a Dave Guerra production. Thank you!